Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, and welcome to this EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. My name is Christian Steen Frederiksen, and I'm a professor of neurology at the Danish Dementia Research Center in Copenhagen, and also the past co-chair of the guideline production group. This EAN cast is on guideline implementation and has been organized on behalf of the EAN panel on translational neuroscience. And I'm very pleased to be joined by a true expert on guideline implementation, Katarina Rukavina. Katarina, welcome.
Thank you, Christian.
So the topic of today is guideline implementation, and I want to start really in the clinic because you work as a clinical neurologist when you're not working as an implementation resident in the European Academy of Neurology. So can you take me into your clinical practice and how you use guidelines in your everyday work as a neurologist?
Yes, so guidelines are very important part of my clinical work, because I think guidelines provide us with a really good opportunity to know really quickly what is the evidence-based best practice, how we can treat our patients in a best way. This is true at the moment for me, but also throughout my training in the neurology, because I often changed countries. So I worked in two different countries. I always found a security in the EAN guidelines, because these are European guidelines. And I knew that wherever I go, wherever I work, I can rely on the guidelines that will show me what the best practice is. So I think in a clinical practice, guidelines are really an important part.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a very important aspect of EAN guidelines, that they are made to be applicable across many different regions and the countries in Europe, not all of which are able to develop guidelines, including my own country, on all subjects. So that's an important point. I think also that really guidelines are the bedrock of evidence-based medicine. But of course, they have to get into the clinic, and that's why we're talking about implementation today. So I want to start. So you use guidelines, I use guidelines, but what do we really know in general about how high the uptake is of guidelines in general in clinical practice in neurology?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's very important point, because the production of guidelines is very important for the EAN, and EAN and many European experts, key opinion leaders in neurology, are investing a lot of resources, a lot of their time and expertise in the production of the EAN guidelines. However, studies are reporting in different areas of neurology that the actual uptake of the guidelines in clinical practice remains quite low. And we have some data, for example, in migraine treatment, the adherence to guideline can be as low as 5%. Then in epilepsy, for example, there is data that the guidelines adherence is around 70%. So this is very, very low. We have been interested into EAN guidelines in particular, and have recently surveyed the EAN members about their adherence to EAN guidelines. And I would like to thank participation to everybody who participated. We have here seen that in general, the EAN members do appreciate EAN guidelines, and in general do believe that EAN guidelines would bring benefits for their patient, would improve the healthcare that they deliver. However, only 1/3 of our members stated that they regularly use the EAN guidelines. So definitely there is a place for a space for improvement also here.
Yeah, that sounds quite low in some areas, at least of neurology. I'm wondering, do you know anything about what factors might impact whether guidelines are being used or not? Do you know that from the survey, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. So in general, we now know that there are many factors that are working either for or against the guideline uptake. And implementation science is a relatively new discipline, but its goal is to understand those factors better and then as consequently to be able to tackle them. And in general, these factors that determine whether guideline will actually be used or not do at least partially depend on the guideline itself. Mm. And we have also seen it in our survey, because as you already mentioned, Christian, the EAN guidelines are tailored to work in all European countries, which is very challenging because the countries differ so much in terms of resources and in terms of different settings. And that's why some members have stated that in some situation, the problem is that guidelines require resources that are not available in their setting of work. So this is a very important point that we need to be aware of.
So it sounds like, as you said, different factors play a role, and that's perhaps not surprising. I kind of want to start with those factors that you mentioned were related to how the guideline is designed. Could you speak a bit about that? And also maybe when should task forces that are tasked with developing guidelines start thinking about implementation? Is that at the very beginning, at the protocol level? Is it during? Is it after the protocol has been written? The guideline perhaps even. When should task forces be starting to think about it? And what can they do to ensure better implementation?
That's a very important point. Thank you, Christian. Actually, the literature is suggesting that the implementation efforts need to start in parallel with the start of the guideline development. So this traditional view that we will produce a guideline and then once it is published, then we will start taking care of it being used. This is not working that well, and this is contributing to this very low adherence. So really, the implementation considerations need to be integrated in the guideline development already. And in EAN level, we are in the context of EAN guidelines, we are now introducing several strategies to improve this. One of the factors is that it is important to include important stakeholders into the guideline development. And this is something that is really important to EAN. So as per definition, stakeholder is a person, any person who is either impacted by a guideline or who can impact the guideline implementation. And I think the group that plays really very important role in this process are people living with the disease that is being addressed in the guideline. So it is really important to meaningfully involve patients or affected individuals from the start, from the beginning of the guideline development. Then what has been shown is that it's important for guideline to be very clear, to be pragmatic, for these recommendations to be easily It is important that the recommendations in the guideline are easy to identify. And with that in mind, we are now introducing a new so-called guideline highlights. So from the newest guideline, the EAN guidelines, we start with a so-called highlight section that will briefly describe for whom is this guideline, how was it developed, and then outline all its recommendations. And the recommendations will be then classified into strong recommendations, weak or conditional recommendations, and consensus statements. Because we want to help busy neurologists in a daily practice to be able to quickly look at a guideline document and then quickly get an overview of what does this guideline recommend. So we are quite excited about this change, and we believe that it will make it easier to follow our EAN guidelines.
That sounds very relevant, to make guidelines more readable and thinking about busy clinical workday, accessibility is really important. So I think that's a wonderful initiative. So you already touched upon stakeholders, and of course here patients are really, and patient representatives are really key players, I would say. What about sort of other partners that are perhaps not directly involved in the development of the guideline, who are potential important partners for EAN in terms of guideline implementation?
Yes, that's another very important question. Thank you for raising this. So another very, very important group are the National Neurological Societies, because National Neurological Societies are actually distributing and implementing EAN guidelines into the real life clinical practice. So this is a group of people that we are working on to involve earlier in the guideline process. So we think it is important that the National Neurological Societies are informed about the EAN guidelines that are in development as soon as the development starts. So they are already aware about the upcoming guidelines and can prepare for their implementation. And we also plan to work more with National Neurological Societies to have more presence of the EAN guidelines, for example, at national conferences, because these are the points where our members have stated they would like to learn about the guidelines. And this partnership with National Neurological Societies is really important for the guideline implementation and needs to be further enhanced and strengthened.
That sounds like an important partnership, but also perhaps a bit difficult one, as we, of course, have many things that we share and unite us here in Europe. We also have a somewhat fragmented landscape when it comes to guidelines. I know there are different rules regarding whether you are bound by the law to follow specific national guidelines, or how much national societies are involved in developing guidelines. Is that also the picture that you've seen in the survey that you conducted?
Yes, as you say, the regulatory points differ between the countries within Europe. And this makes it really difficult for implementation of EAN guidelines. And this makes it actually impossible to have a cookie cutter approach and to have same strategies for each country. And we really need to, as already mentioned, work together with National Neurological Societies to understand on each country's level what is the right strategy to increase the use of the EAN guidelines. EAN cannot influence the regulation in different European countries, so this is not something we can influence, but we need to be aware of it and we need to understand this more in order to achieve not a competition with the nationally produced guidelines, but in order to work together in a collaboration to improve the evidence-based practices across Europe.
I want to just have one last question, because any podcast at the present moment has to involve something on AI. So I want to ask you, what's the role of AI in guideline implementation? Because there's definitely something to be said about AI in development of guidelines. But what about implementation, using agents that probe guidelines, things like that? Do you see that in the future also for helping guideline implementation?
Yes, sure. I think the use of AI in medicine is already there. I think everybody in medicine more or less already uses AI. And I see it really as a wonderful opportunity to increase this guideline adherence clinical practice. Because I think in the future, or I actually not in the future, but from today on, we need to think about the creation of AI tools that would be guideline-based and that would simply make guidelines very accessible to neurologists and make it really timely, very efficient to find the right recommendation and could bring guidelines closer to the clinical practice. So I think it's a very, very nice opportunity that is opening now with this technology advance.
So we should keep our eyes open for a future EAN agent on guidelines. I think that's a wonderful idea and really something that would be a big help. Okay, Katharina, so we are running out of time now, but I want to thank you for sharing your insights into guideline implementation. I think it's really a very important step to get the clear advantages that guidelines bring to medicine to patients. So we need more of that. Thank you for joining me, and thank you out there in front of the screens, wherever you are, for joining us on this EAN cast.
Thank you very much, Christian.
This has been EAN cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.